It's Tuesday, March 23rd. Free agency is well underway. Some good, some bad, some ugly signings. We'll have so much to talk about in regards to the NFL. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You. Welcome in, everyone. Welcome in, by the way, to a Pac-12 standing podcast. As we record this on Monday, my Oregon Ducks, as I'm sporting my nice Oregon Ducks shirt, has defeated Iowa, the Pac-12. Matt, 7-0 in the tournament with 6 wins by double digits, including 2 wins by the Oregon State Beavers, who snuck in the tournament by winning the Pac-12 tournament, are now in the Sweet 16. Ducks are in the Sweet 16. UCLA has Abilene Christian tonight. I hope they're in the Sweet 16. So much happening for our conference and so much happening in the NFL. How are you, Matt? Your Terps are still alive, by the way.
Are still alive at this point. Hopefully, by the time this airs, they will still be alive and joining you in the Sweet 16. You know, what a great time. Like, we got robbed of so many fun sports moments over the last year. Yes. To get the Monday March Madness is really a nice wrinkle. That's been fun.
The thing that I am most excited about for this tournament is not really the basketball. The basketball has been okay. I mean, there has not been a buzzer beater, I don't think, yet. There's been a lot of blowouts, a lot of upsets, obviously, which is very fun. Oral Roberts is through to the Sweet 16. It's a 15 seed. We talked about Oregon State as well. But, Matt, I am grateful that this is back. I've watched more college basketball this year in the tournament than I have in quite a few years, mostly because I'm just happy that it's back. And last year we didn't get this. And I feel very grateful that sports seem to be returning in their usual form. We got an announcement that NFL draft's going to happen in Cleveland. It's going to happen with people there. There's going to be some guidelines, I would imagine. But look, if the end of April things are looking better, maybe there's not as many guidelines. So I feel like we're moving in a happier direction with sports, Matt.
I think we are. And, you know, we've been fairly critical of the NFL at times on this show, but they did a really nice job with COVID throughout the season, from all that we know. So I'm sure the draft will be fun and safe and awesome, and look forward to that.
Which fan base, I guess, what city do you think would I be least welcome in for a draft? Like, if Jeff Schwartz came to cover the draft for the podcast, for Fox Sports, wherever I'm at, which fan base would boo me the most? It wouldn't be Cleveland, I don't think.
I think Tennessee, which Nick just suggested, is in the mix. Although lately you've been terrorizing the Giants fans on Twitter,
and
so
Saints.
The Saints. Oh, they're the poor Saints fans.
The poor Giants. Poor Giants fans, man. They have like the highest paid D tackle and like the highest paid wide receiver. Good for them. Those are winning formulas in the NFL.
Premium positions.
Gotta pay the most for the premium positions. All right, we've had 1 week now, not quite 1 week, but 1 week of free agency. And for those who are unaware, we are now in basically second wave of free agency, the second phase of free agency. So what happens in free agency is there is the first stage, which we saw last week, hot, heavy teams signing a bunch of players right away, okay? And that's like the tampering period opened up, Matt, and then all of a sudden, boom, 18 deals were done. And really up until this past weekend is the kind of the first wave. It's a priority free agent. I think Kenny Golladay's signing was kind of the last of the priority first wave free agents. Now we get to second wave, where you're getting veterans. And there are some signings in the first wave that are considered kind of, I would consider them second wave signings. There are. But now we're kind of getting in like the veterans that have been recently cut, maybe a veteran's off an injury. Maybe a young guy hasn't proven himself yet. You're still kind of in that second wave of free agency, where you get modest deals, probably not more than 2 years at the most, or 3 years. And then there's a third wave, which I've been a part of once. I've been a part of all three waves. First wave, Giants signed right away. The year before that, Kansas City, I was actually third wave. I wasn't signed until about 3 or 4 weeks after free agency started. Got basically a minimum contract. The year before that in Minnesota, I was second wave guy. I took 3 trips. I signed a modest 1-year contract with some incentives. And so we're getting into this is where, Matt, your roster is built, though. Your depth of your roster is built, if you're looking at free agency, the second wave of free agency. So it's fun to watch now kind of as teams position where they're going with their money.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a corner, this second wave is really a good time to jump in. You've got a bunch of guys who are cut, like Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler. Richard Sherman's out there. Tart, the safety from San Francisco. Yep. There's a bunch of others. Some good values out there. T.Y. Hilton's still out there. Some guy named Mitchell Schwartz still available. lots of intriguing guys out there.
I want to talk about my brother real quick, because this seems to be, and I'm sure I'm going to get this 1,000 times until he signs with someone. Look, he's a month and 2 days off back surgery. he's not, no one's signing him right now. So the idea that I know he's like number two on like ESPN's free agency right now, it's not going to happen, right? He's just coming off injury. He will probably sign some point in the summer somewhere, maybe somewhere sooner than that. But there's no point in him signing right now with anyone. No one's going to pay him the type of money that he wants. Just there's no point. So I appreciate everyone asking about this, but it's just not going to happen anytime soon. And look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone's calling right now. I just don't really know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's going to be an interesting one. I mean, obviously we have a vested interest in that one, but like, there's some interesting guys out there. Like, what do you do with James Conner? Like, what are you doing with Ndamukong Suh? Like, all these, there's like some real Jadeveon Clowney. Well, like, there's some real guys out there.
Justin Houston, Carlos Dunlap. Yeah. Like, there's good Melvin Ingram who's visiting the Chiefs. There's three defensive ends right there that can come in and be very helpful. Sammy Watkins is visiting the Ravens, I believe. So we're starting to get kind of in that second wave of free agency. So we're not going to see big money deals, you know, but you're looking at teams that might plug a hole here and there. You know, maybe the Colts, they need a left tackle. They spring for Villanueva from formerly of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So there's places where you can find talent now to really help your team. And so it's a fun stage. And we know some teams sit out the first wave, right? The Seahawks, the Colts, they're never first wave teams. And so some teams go big, like the Patriots, some go home. All right, Matt, let's just give we have some topics here for free agency, and then we'll get to some division odds as things have kind of moved up and down and talk about the conferences. I think the Chiefs, the AFC discussion is very interesting about where they go from here. So was there a favorite signing of yours?
I mean, I had a few. I mean, we can just name a couple and maybe go back and forth here. I think my favorite signings were, can I just say the Bucks keeping everyone was my favorite re-signing. Yeah. I mean, remember that the cap went down this year and they had, I would say three of the top, at least I'd say seven, maybe better, three of the top seven free agents in the market in Barrett, Godwin, and David.
Yeah.
They all could have cashed in, right? We've seen this happen with the Patriots a lot, but that team was able to say like, hey, let's run it back. Like, who knows how many more years of Brady will have left. They were all really happy, it seems, to stay. I think this is sort of like an underrated achievement because everyone was like, oh, of course they'll stay. It's Brady. Like, they'll win again. But that doesn't happen that often. It's one of the reasons that Super Bowl champs don't repeat. So I would give those a tie for number one for me.
Yeah, those are great signs. So there's a couple other ones that I think are pretty good. The Bills, I think, did a really good job of bringing back some of their offensive linemen, Darrell Williams, John Feliciano. They brought back Matt Milano, who we saw last year, really throughout his career. Then when he doesn't play, that defense is far worse. So to bring those guys in, Emmanuel Sanders coming there, they look pretty formidable, right? I mean, they're a team who feels like they're going the right direction. I really like the Niners re-signing Trent Williams. I mean, the deal is ginormous. It's really broken down into two deals. It's 3 years, $60 million to start, and then a three-year, $77 million deal, which I don't think will be exercised. So it's funny how that got announced. It's 6 years, $138 million, but it's really 3 years, $60 million. I like what they did with Alex Mack as a center in that offense. He's played that offense before when he was with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. That feels like a really good signing as well. And there's little things here and there that I think teams did a good enough job just adding, a piece of. I think the Bengals adding Henderson and Riley Reiff Bengals aren't going to be really good this year, but they're adding pieces here and there. They're doing a good job of just kind of building that roster up as they go. And I'm thinking of anyone else signs out. I mean, obviously Dak getting a deal done in is pretty big in the NFC East for the Cowboys. But then that was done before kind of franchise started. But it feels like those are the ones that stood out to me. Last one real quickly. I think Kyle Long going to the Chiefs is a lot of value. 1 year, 1.5 million dollars. He can play a couple different places on that offensive line. They need offensive line help. If he's healthy, that's a great deal for him.
And for them. I hope he's healthy. It seems like he's being counted on as a result of coming back. I mean, 2 points I wanted to jump in on from what you said. Trent Williams is a guy I've just always loved to watch.
Having been drafted
by my team, hasn't played more than 14 games since 2013.
Yeah,
coming into his age 33 season. He's like he's like the Ben Roethlisberger, Steve McNair of left tackle, who's just like always playing hurt, and you kind of like always know that. So I think it gives him a little extra pop, but I think that's a riskier deal. You have to make it, but I think it's a fairly risky deal. And you mentioned the Bengals. Like, the Bengals are kind of a WTF team to me, to be honest. Like, they had like Lawson, who went to the Jets. Like, cool, you signed Trey Hendrickson for another year and more money, but you already had Lawson, who was more productive. So they took like a little bit more of a risk. You know, they let William Jackson go, but they bring in another corner like at the same price, or they got two other corners at the same price. They seem to me to be kind of a weird team, I think.
Well, I think for them, what that is basically, we already know what we have in Carl Lawson, and you know, but we think that Trey Hendrickson is just better. Like we already know what we have in someone else. Let's bring in someone else because we think they're better. Like, I just think it's an idea. It's kind of just like when we were left with those guys, and when we got the team, and we just want to go in a different direction. Important news for Bengals, by the way, as we're talking right now. Bengals re-signed longtime punter Kevin Huber. Very important. 13th year in the NFL.
Cincinnati native.
Yeah, I think it's more of that idea. Like, we've had these guys a couple years now. We just don't we don't quite like what we have. We'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, they have to spend the money somewhere. To add to another group of signings I did, like, I loved Cleveland's signing of both of the Rams' defensive backs, John Johnson and Troy Hill. Denzel Ward's another guy who's awesome, but he's had some trouble staying healthy. I don't think he's ever played a full season. Middle of the pack pasty. Those guys were both, I thought, kind of flying under the radar. They addressed a need. They did it quick, and were both for good contracts. I really like what Cleveland's doing.
They're quietly, and we'll talk about odds in a little bit. They're kind of quietly just chugging along, man. They have a Baker Mayfield decision to make, and we'll spend another podcast, I assume, discussing that. But they're quietly doing a good job. What were your kind of least favorite signings that you saw out there?
Man, this is a long list.
I feel like these are almost team oriented more than just individual oriented.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say the Dalton for the Bears stands out. I mean, that one is just putrid. I mean, what it seems like what happened with the Bears is they go all in for Wilson, they get rebuffed, and then at the same time, Fitzpatrick goes off the market, Newton goes off the market, and then they have to take their quote-unquote best chance with Dalton. They're going to have to do something in the draft, but now it seems like they have no leverage in any quarterback decision because everyone knows that Andy Dalton is at best like a guy you want to keep for, I don't know, eight games you want to start him.
Yeah.
I think the Bears quarterback room, I think that position makes me the most nauseous of any position group in the NFL except the Texans running backs. I think that's those two give me this sense of just like, oh no, like don't do that. Like, you could do better than that. So I mean that's just so disappointing. They knew this was coming all year, and to end up with Andy Dalton heading into the draft is just unforgivable.
It's a good point. You know, the Bears are in a really weird spot, right, where they obviously screwed up at quarterback, but the rest of their team is not half bad. And they're not in a position to really tank for anyone. Plus, next season, I don't even know. I can't even tell you who the best quarterback is, right? We always knew this year that we had Trevor Lawrence, right? Like, we knew there was one. And there's other guys that have now stepped up in Trey Lance and Justin Fields. But who is the guy next year? And there's not even a guy you would even want to tank for right now. 2 years ago, it was tank for Tua. Then Herbert comes along. Excuse me. Burrow comes along. Herbert comes along. Like, yes, team, you know, you could find a quarterback maybe next year, but they're not bad enough to suck that bad, right? They're in that weird spot. So what do they do? And this feels like a stopgap. But again, do they draft a quarterback at 20, Matt? Do they do – they're not trading for Russell Wilson as much as they claim they want to still do that. So I'm very if I was a Bears fan, I feel very poorly about just going 8-8 again. Like, that's what you're about to go. Dalton has led the Bengals to the playoffs. Not like he hasn't, but I'm just not quite sure everything else is there as well. Is there a favorite? We put this in the rundown as like favorite team to watch after free agency.
Well, are we done with least favorite? Because we have to. I do want to add one more.
Okay,
and that's everything the Patriots did, I hate.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I know you talked about this a bit already, yeah. but I wanted to have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
The thing that I really want to drill down on is this double tight end offense that they think they're running. So there are two options here. Number one is that the Patriots turn into the Ravens. And right, and they try to do that jumbo, bunch of dumb motion, you know, Mark Andrews and the other giant white guys that they have as their tight ends, just that kind of boring offense. The problem is Cam Newton is not Lamar Jackson, and there's no, like, you know, there's no J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards to power that running attack. And then the other option here is one tight end does better than the other, and you're paying number one for a number two tight end. And then you've got Nelson Agholor, which is, you know, that guy gave you 4 years of sample size and had one decent year when there were tons of other, you know, offensive weapons on that team. I just think that this makes no sense, this offensive plan from the Patriots, and everyone's afraid to say it because of the Belichick thing.
So you make some great points. Their offense is what you mentioned is going to be. They're going to pack the box in. They got Trent Brown back. They re-signed David Andrews. You know, they're going for it. You know, they're going for it with this Cam Newton style offense, right? And it's probably not going to work. And Bill Belichick's trying to make up for all the issues he's had in drafting, right? They haven't drafted well at wide receiver. They haven't drafted well at some of these other positions, right? At some of these defensive positions. And, you know, they added Matthew Judon, Dietrich Weiss, they added Kyle Vinoy back. But I will say, some of the wide receiver deals are less heavy than we think. Most of them are round, you know, Aguilar and Cameron Burr are kind of like one-year deals. And now we're seeing that the market for wide receivers is not as robust as we thought. So I don't think they're awful deals. And maybe I'm too, you know, Bill Belichick praiseworthy to, like, let them, you know, like, to really hammer them. Like, I feel like I'm always defer to Bill Belichick being, you know, fabulous. But the point is, and this is, I think, really valid, is that he's not been a good general manager in a long time. No. And nope. That is an issue, and this is his last chance to fix that issue.
It just seems like everyone's going like, oh, they're going to be Gronk and Hernandez again. But that was 10 years ago, first of all, and Gronk was the best tight end of all time.
Yeah.
You know, Jonnu Smith, his stats the last two seasons are 76 for 887 and 11 touchdowns. Like, that's what Hernandez was getting as the number two tight end in one season. And Hunter Henry, like, nice player, but he's never had a 700-yard season, never played 16 games. Like, that's a lot of dough to be shelling out to those positions when you've got Cam Newton and Damian Harris to drive your offense.
In slight defense of this idea, 12 personnel, so one running back, two tight ends, two wide receivers, is the hardest to defend if you're a defense. Because are you gonna treat those two tight ends as wide receivers and play nickel, or you know, treat it as base and play, you know, more linebackers, then you have a mismatch on offense. So there is some idea. Now the question becomes, obviously, did you pay too much for these guys, right? And there's a chance that you did, but we'll find out. And they have to reload in the AFC East if they want to be competitive. I'll give you a least favorite team. Like, what are the Giants doing, guys? I mean, what are they doing? So the Giants signed Leonard Williams to the second highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL. One good season, and he's in, right? They gave him what they give him. 3 years, $63 million, 45 guaranteed. They signed Kenny Golladay to a four-year, $72 million deal, 44 guaranteed. So let's talk about that deal more than anything else. I like them trying to bring in weapons for Daniel Jones. They brought in John Ross as well, Kyle Rudolph, the former Vikings tight end. I like that they did that. That's impressive they did. But the messaging behind the Kenny Golladay signing is very odd to me. Okay, so first of all, they said he needed 24 hours to win them over. What does that mean, win them over? I get it. They blame him for not playing in Detroit, and you know that's why Patricia got fired, and they're boys with Patricia, Joe Judges. Okay, fine. But what is Kenny Golladay going to say in that 24 hours that would convince you any way, each way to sign him? If you ask him, hey, did you decide to purposely not play through injury? He'll be like, no, I was hurt. I couldn't play. Okay. If you say, hey, did you try to sabotage Matt Patricia? No, I didn't. Are you working hard in the offseason? Are you a hard worker? Yes, I am. Like, what's he going to say? What is he going to say in 24 hours? And then lastly, too, normally when there is this kind of like warm-up period where you figure each other out, you don't give them $40 million guaranteed afterwards. Like, exactly. I don't understand what they're doing. And then I put out, of course, that it's very uncommon to pay someone this much money and have this 24-hour period where you have to like learn about them more and figure out they're a good fit. And then all the Giants fanboys are like, I love my coach signs guys with good character. You know someone's character after 24 hours? Really? In an environment when he's trying to sell himself, so you pay him all his freaking money? You would know his attitude if you paid him $5 million for one season and made him earn his contract the following year, right? Like, that to me, this is just ludicrous. And the way this gets framed, Matt, then I included you in a tweet, unfortunately, where, and I was right about it. Last year, the Giants were covered like they were Super Bowl champions. They were 6-10. I think we can all agree about that. People are like, what about the Cowboys for 30 years? Did I mention the Cowboys? I said last season. I didn't say the last 30 years. But guys, the Giants, they don't really know what they're doing, all right? I'm glad they brought in, like, they know what they're doing as far as they brought in some talent for Daniel Jones. But this whole, like, media spin they try to do lately where they try to sell these deals, like, what the heck was that? Jabril Peppers talked to him. You know what talked to him? The $40 million guaranteed you gave him. That's what talked to him. Very simple. Like, what do you, yeah. It's so stupid. And we just eat it all up. What's going on? Giants fans, come on. You know I'm right, too. So silly.
I love this take. You're going to make him like the seventh highest paid receiver after one dinner with Jabril Peppers. Man, he must have cooked for Peppers, right? Like, he must have like or picked a really good restaurant. Like, what happened to that won them over so much that they were like, okay, here's $70 million. We had such a great meeting. I completely don't buy it. I agree that the signing makes sense. Like, they obviously needed a receiver, but the Giants are just, they just seem like they're ass backwards to me. And if there was a division champion in that division who was any better than last year's Washington team, like, no one would even be thinking about them, and this would be laughed at.
Let's get to Washington, because they're in the category of favorite team I want to watch this season on Game Pass. Let's talk about the Washington football team, Matt. How about you go? They're your football team. You go. Tell me what you liked about what they did.
Man, it's so bizarre. I liked everything they did. I think they're doing an amazing job. And if you recall last year, they took advantage of that second or third wave of free agency when they signed Logan Thomas and McKissick and Ronald Darby last year, who just got a big deal. Like, they're going to do more things. But first of all, I mean, the Fitzpatrick thing makes a ton of sense. They knew they had this problem at quarterback, just like the Bears did, but they ended up getting a guy who their goals aligned. It's like, hey, we don't have anything better for this year. Ryan Fitzpatrick, like, you want to be a starter, like, here you go. This is the chance. And it makes sense. They didn't go all in and push in all their chips to trade up to the number one pick or something, and that way put a lot of pressure on a timeline. Like, they can keep rebuilding at a nice pace. I like the Curtis Samuel signing. I mean, I think that's like a nice, you've got a real identity on offense now with the speed and the versatility. And the William Jackson signing was interesting too. I mean, some people had him as one of the top corners on the market. Now they have a really solid secondary with Fuller and Landon Collins coming back. So I like where they're headed, and they still have four picks in the first three rounds of the draft. Like, they didn't put themselves at a disadvantage. So I think they're in a really good spot, and they're going to be fun as hell with Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
They're going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And so it's going to be fun to watch them kind of get after it. And look, Fitz obviously takes you on a wild ride. It's not always going to be perfect. And he's kind of an anti-Ron Rivera like type of player, which is kind of funny, because obviously that's, you know, Ron, in my opinion, you know, just that's not the player he wants. But he does give him a chance to win, which is important. Curtis Samuels is a great addition, in my opinion, as well. So they've done a really, really good job. Quietly, I think, you know, many have not talked about them. And they can still go get a quarterback in the draft and have someone for the future if they feel like that's the position they need to attack. What was your least favorite team the least favorite team to watch after free agency?
I mean, Is it unfair to say Houston? I mean,
no.
My God, man. Houston, I actually would argue that of all teams in professionals in the three major sports, I think Houston might be in the worst spot.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from Watson's legal trouble, which neither of us are smart enough to talk about at this stage, like, I mean, their roster is, just makes me sad. Yeah. Like, when I mentioned their running backs, Ingram, Phillip Lindsay, David Johnson, their receivers, Randall Cobb, Brandon Cooks, Kiki Kuti, Tyrod Taylor probably going to get some snaps. Like, yeah. And they're only $8 million under the cap, and they don't have a first-round pick. Like, they – oh, God, I feel so bad for those fans. Like, they are in hell. It's going to be years before that team is anything.
Yeah, they did a basically like a 30-player overhaul, right? They brought in enough players plus got rid of enough players. They've done a lot. Real quickly on the Watson thing, it's just important for me to discuss this part. So, obviously – In all these instances, and we don't talk about this very much on this podcast, when there's allegations like this that are very serious, you know, there's not much to talk about because we don't have the facts, right? We're not the law. We're not investigating this. We're not a jury. And it's okay sometimes to be like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I think it's irresponsible how often we come to conclusions on social media about these topics, Matt. Like, I don't know why we just can't say, hey, man, I'm going to let this play out. I'm going to let the process play out because there's plenty of time for Deshaun to go and you know, present his evidence in a court, and the accuser can present their evidence, and that's the end of it. Like, why do people go on social media and just make these conclusions about stories like this? I don't get it. So guess what? I'm going to let it play out. As far as his trade value, doesn't probably help. As far as Houston planting this story, absolutely not. Why would they? This in no way helps Houston whatsoever that their star quarterback they want to keep has multiple lawsuits against him, alleging some terrible things. Like, so I don't know why we rush social media to draw conclusions when allegations like this surface. I don't get it.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said. All right. We'll see what happens there.
End that there because I just want to make that point. I just see people like, you're like, don't say it. Just don't say it. Just let the process play out. We're not in the lawsuit. We don't know. All right. So for me, what the hell are Raiders doing? Like, John Gruden has no idea what he's doing. Can we admit that now? Just not a freaking clue what he's doing.
Tell me more about this. I like this.
So they signed Kenyon Drake to a two-year, $11 million deal. Why? You have Jacobs. Why do you need Kenyon Drake? Oh, third down back. Okay. Like a third down back is winning the Super Bowl, right? Like, hopefully, Nick, that's the part he shows to everyone, the hand gesture I just made. Congratulations, Oakland, Vegas, on that signing. That really bolstered you guys.
It was a shake weight gesture, describe that to our audio listeners.
It very much was. They also signed Theo Riddick. All right, congratulations on that one.
Another third down.
Yannick Ngakoue, 2 years, $26 million. Congratulations on that. They also got rid of Rodney Hudson. They're like all-world center. Rodney Hudson's fantastic. And they signed a kid, Andre James, today. Is an unrestricted free agent to a multiple year deal to play center. A, they didn't have to pay him, but two, look, I cover the NFL for a living. I don't know everything, right? There's so much stuff happening. I had to text someone and said, who is Andre James, their center they just signed?
Wow.
I don't know who this guy is. Mm. What are they doing? They traded away
from
Gabe
Rodney
Jackson.
Hudson, yeah.
They traded away, traded away Gabe Jackson to Seattle.
Trent Brown
to the Patriots. Like, what are they doing? And their offense, by the way, as much as I mock them, has been fun to watch at times. But I have no idea what they're doing, and I don't think John Gruden does either. And he's a terrible personnel guy.
Yeah, and they essentially swap Aguilar for John Brown, who hasn't been healthy, and Aguilar, who was really good there. Like, you know, then they said that they wanted to keep him. I mean, there were all these whispers that the Raiders needed to cut back their payroll because they'd spent so much on the stadium and they're big time in the red after last year, but they were still aggressive. They still made a bunch of moves. I agree. They're a team that doesn't make sense to me. Can we just turn this into the teams that don't make sense?
Yes.
Because I feel like I have 100. I mean, first of all, to me, you mentioned Rodney Hudson and Kenny Drake. They're both related to this team I want to talk about, the Cardinals. So Who do the Cardinals like think they are? It would be my big question. Like, you're gonna let Kenyon Drake go, who, like you mentioned, okay, Kenyon Drake isn't Barry Sanders, but he was a key piece for that offense. And Chase Edmonds, when given the chance to sort of like be the feature back, like never really took it and ran with it. So you subtract Kenyon Drake, you add Hudson, which is a nice move, but you let Patrick Peterson go, which seems to make you think like, oh, we're not just banking on big name veterans anymore. Like we're sharper than that. But then they go out and sign J.J. Watt and A.J. Green. Like A.J. Green, what are we doing here? Like, when's the last time that guy was good? And J.J. Watt, like, fine, you're paying top of market value for like maybe the 30th best defensive end at this stage. Like, okay, then even like Dan Arnold, he was like a nice piece for them at tight end last year, and they just let him go. Like, what, you're gonna let him go but sign AJ Green to be your wide receiver four? Like, what are we doing here? What do they think they're aiming towards?
A lot of teams don't have identities. Now, they did trade for Rodney Hudson, the center we talked about for the Raiders, but
yeah, but
I'm not sure he fits really what they cares? Do. Like, it doesn't really fit what they do. They signed Brian Waters today and Max Garcia, offensive lineman, to 1-year deals. Like, that's not much of a big deal. But yeah, I don't know why.
Are they better?
No.
I mean, they spent a lot of money. Are they better? I'm not sure they are.
I don't think they're that much better. I mean, they're going to win or lose based off of Kingsbury's ability to adjust the offense, which we've seen so far has been really tough for them to do. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that. Yeah. You know, that's the problem. One other team, and this is not in really any category, but we talk about them a lot, which is the Kansas City Chiefs, because you can put them in, you can put them into a maybe category saying like, hey, what are they doing exactly? All right, I'm gonna
go over here. Yep.
I'm pull up the tweet here just to make sure I have it right. So, let's see here. One sec. Oh, here it is, right here. So the Chiefs are gonna is a tweet from Ken Swanson, who covers the team, and it's a good tweet. The Chiefs are going to have a hard time being better than they were last season at left tackle, center, right tackle, wide receiver, D-end, dime linebacker, cornerback, and safety. Now, this is obviously before free agency. This is, yeah. I mean, before the draft. But they're looking at a big talent dump, right? You look at they need to get faster at linebacker. I don't think there was really anyone that was, you consider like, hey, I need to have. They need a left tackle. They supposedly were very close on Trent Williams, but they didn't get one. Then you get Trent. They've been close on wide receivers. We've seen wide receivers turn them down. I would imagine because spreading the love is not something wide receivers want to, they don't want to be on a team like that in a 1-year deal. But they're kind of striking out a lot of guys. And Pat Mahomes will cover up the stink. Don't worry. They'll still win 12 games next season. But you get in the playoffs, you're running up against a Tampa, you need a better team, right? So, and they still have holes like in the draft. They still need a left tackle. Still need a speedy linebacker. Still need a number two wide receiver. Still need another corner. Like they need these things still, and you're not going to find all of them in the draft. I'm a little worried if you're a Chiefs fan.
This is an important week or two for them. You mentioned a few of those guys that are out there, like Ryder and Breland are still free agents, so they could potentially try to bring some of those guys back. But this is what I was saying with the Bucks. It's like it's hard to keep these guys around, even like, their success doesn't hinge on Bashaud Breland, but like you need a number two corner, like you need those guys who are just going to be dependable for you.
Yeah. And so I'm curious what they do. 31 in the draft, there's a couple tackles that might be possible.
Sure.
And, it's the linebacker we'll see as well. But, look at AFC championship odds. I'm not sure how much they moved since free agency, but you have the Chiefs at plus 250. And again, with Pat Mahomes, it's going to be tough to beat them. Like, again, even if they're like 12-4. I mean, like going to Kansas City is gonna be hard no matter who is playing on their team if they have Pat Mahomes healthy. Next up are the Buffalo Bills at plus 550. They feel like the best chance, don't they, Matt? If there's one AFC team to get there, to knock them off, it's Buffalo, right? They go 13-3, home field advantage. Chiefs have to go to Buffalo for the AFC championship game. Does it feel like Buffalo is that team, or is there someone else that you're looking at as, hey, maybe this team can knock off the Chiefs?
I think it's Buffalo or Cleveland, probably. Cleveland would be the other team, wow. I think. But I still don't see – I see them clearly – I think it's clearly KC, Buffalo, yeah. And then I guess it's Cleveland. I'm not sure who else would even be in the mix.
They have the Baltimore Ravens at plus 650, the third highest odds in the AFC. I don't see that, man. I don't see Lamar Jackson. And they're going to have a tough decision to make. to pay him or not. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that as being a viable, you know, viable way to win it, to win the conference. A couple, you know, Colts plus 1200. That really just depends on, you know, if what's his face, if Wentz is any good. One other team, and we could discuss about them in divisions as well. In the AFC West, the Chargers are plus 420 to win the division, and they're plus 1600 to win the AFC. If their new coach is any good, they got a chance, don't they?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, anytime you have a quarterback that's that good, like you like that kind of value, and they still have a lot of players on that defense. Yeah, I could see them taking a big step.
If you're looking at the rest of the AFC, looking at divisions, Baltimore, Buffalo, Indy, and KC are the favorites. I don't really see. I think the Browns in the AFC North at plus 200 have a chance. They're right behind the Ravens. The AFC East is probably the Bills. I mean, look at the Dolphins at plus 350. The New England's plus 350. I mentioned the West already. But the AFC South, I mean, Tennessee, talking about a team I have to replace a lot. Tennessee's got to replace their OC. I believe they need like two wide receivers now. They just drafted a right tackle in last year's draft, had to trade him. Isaiah Wilson got cut by the Dolphins. So really, I think chalk holds there. Look at the NFC right now. The favorite to win the NFC is Tampa again, then Green Bay, then LA, then San Francisco, then New Orleans. I'll tell you what, man. If Jimmy G's healthy, give me the Niners. It's that simple.
Interesting.
Shanahan has – the 1 year he was healthy – the Niners were great.
You mentioned the Packers. They're a team that I'm pretty frustrated with at the moment. I know this doesn't directly go back to your futures bet, but the Packers, like, what have they been doing? Like, not only just so they spent a bunch of money to bring Aaron Jones back, which, like, I think we would both agree Aaron Jones is a nice player. You're obviously on record about running back contracts not being a good investment. We know that part of it. If you're going to sign a running back, Aaron Jones isn't a bad choice, but what they basically did now is they basically threw away last year's draft.
Yes.
And they threw away free agency this year, at least in terms of marquee guys, because they drafted a quarterback and a running back last year, and they're both going to be backups next year in the first two slots. You know, they still have to address the secondary. Why not get out there? Like, why weren't they in the Will Fuller conversation? Why weren't they in the Curtis Samuel conversation? Kenny Golladay, like, you don't think Kenny Golladay would be a good target for Aaron Rodgers? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Why not go with a cheap running back? Why not keep Jamal Williams and run with A.J. Dillon on cheap deals and give Aaron Rodgers some help and fix that secondary? Like, what are we doing?
It's a good question. The Packers just never seem to want to spend, and they did a couple years ago with those defensive ends, right? The Smith brothers. Otherwise, they don't spend a lot of money in free agency, and they're gonna try to run it back with kind of the same crew they had last year and add some more in the draft. The Aaron Jones signing was interesting because that offense produces running backs no matter what. Like, I don't really, yeah. I just don't get, and they, you know, AJ Dillon signing last year, they basically wasted last year's draft. Jordan Love.
Throw it out.
And A.J. Dillon, first round, second round. It seems silly. But again, the NFC North, who's going to beat them? The Vikings aren't. The Bears aren't. The Lions aren't.
No. That division really did not take a step forward. But the Packers just were such a head-scratcher. I mean, the other two, for me, that were head-scratchers are the Steelers and the Seahawks. Like,
they're just stuck both in their of ways. Them, they're just stuck in their ways,
they're just stuck. And it feels to me like looking at these teams where it's like, who do you feel the best about today, like, and some of these teams that we're so used to saying for years are going to start to take a back seat. I think, like, the Saints, like, are we feeling great about the Saints? Like, the Titans, they're Derrick Henry sprained ankle away from not even being in the conversation in the AFC South. Like, you know, the Patriots, obviously, maybe some people like what they're doing, but some of these teams, the Seahawks, like, they're fading, and we're going to have to start to see some of these other teams step up and take some of these spots.
I think they get in the spot where they're just kind of like old and stuck in their ways, and they're not willing to do the changes necessary. I mean, you basically, it's hard to rebuild on the fly in the NFL. You kind of have to be bad, and it's hard to accept being bad, right? For if you're the Seahawks or the Steelers. So they're kind of in stuck spots. Looking at the Seahawks in the NFC West. Oh, by the way, let's go to the NFC East real quick before we get to NFC West. Dallas is the favorite, -105. Washington, +280. The Giants, +500. Eagles, +500. The Washington football team's the value here at +280, right?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Actually, you know what? I might actually bet that right now. I don't really... We're probably not going to get better odds than that, right?
I don't think so. They have... I was thinking about this. They have the best coach in the division, best coaching staff in the division, right? Yeah. They've got the second best quarterback in the division, right. And they've got the best defense in the division, yeah. And they're either in like the number one or number two in every position group, I think. You could go down the list. I think they're the class of that division. It's just, I think people are worried about
See if they have, I might put some, here we go, NFC divisional odds. I might put a little dough on that right now. Ooh, the other, I'm using FanDuel's numbers. We're not sponsored by anyone. The other book I have, the other one I use, an offshore, +350 for Washington.
Nice. Yeah, jump on it, man. It's funny, like some of these divisions, the NFC West is kind of a fun one to think about. Like, the Rams, I'm looking at DraftKings. They've got the Rams +180 as the favorite with Stafford. I mean, that team is such a mystery to me coming into next season. Like, they could be awesome or they could be terrible. I'm not sure.
The NFC West is like a stay away right now for me as far as who I think is going to win.
They're the only division that is like even up for grabs according to the odds. Yeah. I mean, the NFC East and the NFC West are the only ones with minus money favorites. Or plus money favorites.
I mean, the South is Tampa Bay, New Orleans. Carolina might be a little worth Christy. A dabble at +700. But, you know, New Orleans right now, I mean, we're rolling with Winston.
Or Taysom.
You know what, Matt? We've had a good podcast. We've been going now for near 40 minutes. We're not going to talk about him. We've had a good podcast. We're just not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Any last thoughts on free agency so far?
I don't think so. I mean, there's lots of teams that had really confusing signings, but I think we put this in a good spot. Any last teams or players you want to watch the next couple of weeks?
Well, the teams that, like I said, the teams that still need left tackles, like the Colts, like they haven't done anything yet. The Seahawks need offensive linemen. You know, where are they going? What are they doing with those positions? You mentioned, you know, the defensive ends, the corners. There's plenty of great places to upgrade. So I'm curious if the teams now that normally spend in phase two will go out and do so.
That's a good one. That's a good point. I actually do have one more thing to think about is Sam Darnold and the Jets. Like, the Jets have had a pretty strange offseason, I think. They've signed a lot of polarizing guys, like Corey Davis. You either like that signing or you're not a fan. Like, Jared Davis is another one. Sam Darnold, it's like, everyone was talking. They're like, oh, he could get a first or a second, like coming up into the draft. Like,
I think they might keep him.
I think they should. And if you draft if you draft that kid from Oregon and protect him, maybe he'll turn into something. Who knows?
Yeah, Penei Sewell would be very welcome there. I just did my thing last week with those guys to film for my show. Man, Penei's a very impressive human. So that would be sweet. If they could do that, that would be great. And you have Mekhi Becton and you have Penei Sewell, your tackles. You're pretty set there.
That would be pretty good.
All right, guys. We knocked it out. We did a Tuesday show. We're going to come back with an interview this week. We're, as usual, during the offseason, we're going to start ramping the interviews. You guys got good feedback on the Robert Mays and Mina Kimes interviews, so I'm glad you guys enjoyed those. And we'll be back later this week. Take care, everyone.